abandoned.
Try not.
Today on this bill. This is March 26th, 8:30 in the morning or 8:35 or whatever it is. And this is the Subcommittee on Human Resources, or Human Services, I'm sorry. This is a public hearing on Senate Bill 5523. And a good member of LFO is here with us today, and he's going to tell us all about this.
Good morning, Mr. Co-Chair, members of the Subcommittee. Today we're going to have be listening to a presentation from the Oregon Medical Board on Senate Bill 5523. This is their budget bill for the upcoming biennium. And it's going to be presented, the presentation today is by Catherine Haley and Carol Brandt from the agency, and we have Claire Clark from the CFO's office over at DAS. The Oregon Medical Board is pretty flat budget this year. We're looking at no significant issues with the agency's budget, the current service level. They're entirely funded from other fund revenue. The budget request for the Oregon Medical Board includes five policy option packages. Two packages request additional position, a rules coordinator and an investigator position. One package is for reclassification of some of a licensing staff position. And the remaining two packages are for increase in services and supplies expenditures and for additional lease space and statewide board meeting expense. The only other issue with the board is they have adopted a strategic plan that's providing direction for the agency during the next two-year period, and the first goal in the plan is to streamline the agency operations and to implement cost efficiencies. And to that end, the agency has submitted a bill, that's Senate Bill 279, for semi-independence, and that bill is currently being referred to the Ways and Means Committee but has not been scheduled.
Thank you. It'll be coming to this committee, I understand. Full disclosure, this is the board that that licensed me, and so I will not be asking you any questions for that reason. I'm serious.
Okay.
We're all pretty sensitive right now about these kind of things, so I'm I'm gonna ask that the House ask any questions that are pertinent. I'm going to try to just get this thing going and get us through it, and I know there could be a lot of questions, but there may be some, and so I would just let you know that ahead of time. So would you like to come forward?
Just to let you know, Mr. Chair, I was just coming from a meeting with your physician colleague.
Yes.
She's running a little late, but she said to say she'd be here soon.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, can we ask them about your credentials and why they licensed you?
Yes. That's probably pretty a reasonable question, and sometimes I question it myself.
Mr. Chair, I noticed that the testimony is limited to 2 to 3 minutes per person.
I figured they won't get to my file that way.
Just kidding.
Introduce yourself, please, to the committee and for the record also.
Thank you. Good morning, co-chairs Bates and Nathanson, members of the committee. My name is Kathleen Haley, and I serve as the executive director for the Oregon Medical Board. With me this morning is Ms. Carol Brandt, and she's our business manager. And here, I will do an overview and a wrap up at the end, and Carol will handle the budget specifics. We appreciate the opportunity to meet with you this morning and speak about the work of the Oregon Medical Board and to present the governor's balanced budget. The board's responsible for four professional groups with approximately 19,700 licensed professionals. And I'll just note that last year was our 125th anniversary, which we celebrated. Our mission is essentially patient safety. I like to think of us as one of the first patient safety organizations in the state. However, we modified our mission statement somewhat in the last several years to add that the board should promote access to quality care. And one of the ways in which we do that is to try to remediate those physicians and other licensees who may be experiencing difficulties in their practice. One example of that is we've recently been working on a wellness initiative with some of our partners in the associations. I'd like to introduce you to the board members. We have 12 members. However, you'll only see 11 photographs there because this afternoon we hope to have our 12th member appointed and confirmed. Our members serve for 3-year terms, and they may serve up to 2 terms. We've been very fortunate to attract professionals and public members who are among the finest in the state. All the congressional districts are represented, and we do have a variety of medical specialties. It's important to note that it's their leadership that sets the direction and high standards for our agency. The board does work through committees. The probably hardest working and heavy lifting committee is the investigative committee, which is monthly. It starts at 7:30 and goes through the close of business. That is the, obviously, it goes through investigative cases and also potential discipline. The other committees mostly meet on a quarterly basis, and in particular, the Administrative Affairs Committee covers board operations, our performance measures, strategic plan, and other issues such as that. The board also sets up some ad hoc committees, like this wellness initiative that I mentioned earlier. Since 1999, we've had a formal strategic plan, and that allows us to evaluate how we're doing. And we set it for about 2-year term, and we, on a quarterly basis, the managers sit down and we see whether we're meeting our targets and fulfilling all the action items that we've put forward for the next couple of years. This next slide shows an overview of the board services. While we are only one program, we do have these different program areas within it. And we work across discipline. I think it's very important to note that we're not working in silos. And one example of that is on our renewal for licensure. If a licensee says they've had a problem in the prior 2 years, that will then go over to our investigative committee, and they work hand in hand with our licensing staff. I'd like to then turn to some specific program activities, and the first one is license services. This represents 2 years of activity, and I think we've really tried to use technology to expedite our processes while ensuring that we have healthcare, safe healthcare professionals in the state. So now you can essentially do everything online. You can apply for a license, check the status of your application, renew your license, change your address, etc., all online. The next slide shows our investigations and compliance department and really walks through the process of the number of complaints that we get up front versus how many orders are taken at the end of a year. And this is a 1-year snapshot. It shows that we've had 74 public orders in 2014. We have a complaint resource officer on staff, so I think he's been instrumental in keeping down the number of complaints that would only have a potential violation to the Medical Practice Act. Right now, our investigators are carrying about 50 to 60 cases at any given time. The Administrative and Business Services section is Ms. Brandt, Carol Brandt, who's with me this morning. It's her department. And they handle HR as well as contracting and accounting. And they also maintain our website, which we think is really important to let the public and our licensees know what we're doing and have access to information about our licensees. Through our key performance measures, we do demonstrate our accountability, and we've been fortunate to tie them to our mission and our strategic plan, and we've been able to meet or exceed all of our KPMs. This next slide just shows a kind of an overview of our operating environment. As you all know, the medical profession is changing almost on a daily basis. We also are really buffeted by some of the more external factors such as confidentiality, the need for transparency, and the challenge to keep up with technology and use it to the best, both for our licensees and for the public. This next slide shows you that in the last 15 years we have kept the fees below the CPI, and that our population and fees have, oddly enough, mirrored one another while the number of licensees has gone up substantially. This is one of my favorite slides because it shows the life of a regulator, and that is trying to keep the balance. We have, as I said, one program area, but we're involved in licensing, discipline, remediation, and education for the four professions that we regulate. And we've been very fortunate to have adequate funding to provide the level of service that both the public and our licensees expect. One thing I'd like to point out here is that we do transfer a substantial amount of fees to other state agencies. So we transfer some funds to the OHSU Library, Prescription Drug Monitoring Program, Workforce Data Collection. In addition, we spend about $800,000 a biennium within our budget toward the Health Professional Services Program. So that represents about 10% of our budget being transferred to either the health authority or OHSU.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Sorry, thank you. Can you just clarify for me, you said transfer fees, as in the revenue you collect from fees, that revenue goes to other agencies?
Co-Chair Bates and Nathanson, Representative Stark, that's correct.
Okay.
At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Brandt for some of the budget specifics.
Good morning, Co-Chairs Bates and Nathanson, members of the committee. I'm Carol Brandt, business manager for the Oregon Medical Board. We are 100% other funded. We receive about 98% of our revenue from the license fees of our four different professional groups, mostly through renewal of licensure. Most licenses are renewed during the October to December period of the first of each odd-numbered year, which is the first 6 months of each biennium. So that's why our revenue stream looks a little odd. It's very steep at the very beginning. We must collect all of our revenue that we expect for the biennium during that first 6 months period, or just about all of it. Our fees have increased more slowly than the consumer price index, and our annual renewal fees, as you can see from this chart, are generally lower than those of our surrounding states. Oregon is shown in purple on this chart. Moving on to our policy packages, this next slide shows a summary of the policy packages proposed by the agency. There were no fee increases proposed, and all packages are funded through current revenue streams. As another funded agency, we have no impact on the general funds available for other essential state services. Package 101 is simply a placeholder for our legislative concept, which is Senate Bill 279. Package 102, the board seeks funding authority for the lease negotiated by the Department of Administrative Services. This just decreased our rent by about $1 per square foot, but added approximately 1,600 square feet of space, helping the agency to meet goals of transparency, improved design to keep emergency exits clear, and to increase space to provide a buffer for the members of the board. The previous lease expired in June of 2014, and we realized this was an opportune time to absorb some vacant adjacent office space. We worked closely with the Department of Administrative Services and our landlord to design the vacant space into an expansion of our existing hearing room and one additional confidential conference room. The landlord absorbed the remodeling costs, which were in excess of $230,000. This package provides only funding for the increased lease rent costs associated with the increase in space. Package 103 proposes a one FTE rules coordinator position. This position will help increase transparency and improve the timeliness of responses to requests for public information. We're finding this increasingly necessary due to the complexity of our rules, increasing requests for public information, and to ensure we're protecting public safety. Package 104 requests a one FTE administrative assistant within the investigations department. The number of potentially actionable complaints received was about 20% higher in 2014 than it had been for 2013. With this package, we're asking to add additional administrative support staff to perform the lower skilled administrative tasks on behalf of our more highly paid medical and investigative staff. Allowing these individuals to exercise their skills and training is essential to maintaining our case timelines, as well as exemplary disciplinary outcomes and low recidivism. This position will allow the team to better serve patients who file complaints and licensees under investigation, because it will serve as a point of contact for inquiries throughout the investigative process. Without adding more highly paid investigators, the addition of this support position is a cost-effective means to help respond to our increasing caseload. Package 105 requests to reclassify six positions in our licensing department. These positions are responsible for reviewing and processing license applications. They must interpret, apply, and often explain complex standards for medical licensure. With the safety of the public at stake, our expectations for the work quality in these positions is exceedingly high. The work is exacting, with significant pressure to make sure only qualified applicants are licensed, but also to provide licensure quickly to ensure citizens have access to care. It is unrealistic to expect this level of work at the current classification. And finally, Package 106 requests funding authority to support one meeting per year outside the Medical Board's Portland office. Bringing the board to a new location in Oregon's diverse medical community will provide an opportunity for broader community involvement and inclusion of stakeholders who might otherwise never have an opportunity to attend a board meeting. Inviting the public to see the board in action is the best way to educate them on the medical board's role in the state. The public will have an opportunity to share opinions on the issues the board reviews. These meetings will also demonstrate the thoroughness and professionalism with which the board functions. And now I'll turn it back to Ms. Kathleen Haley.
Thank you, co-chairs Bates and Nathanson, members of the committee. My name is Kathleen Haley, and I'm just going to provide wrap-up here in the last couple of slides. The first one is on some of the legislation that's going to impact the board, and we've discussed briefly Senate Bill 279. I'd like to point out that the credentialing work group is moving forward, and we're optimistic that with the health authority, we'll get a database in which we'll be able to upload our licensing data into this credentialing form and make it a lot easier for physicians who are coming into the state and want to practice. The telehealth bill, of course, is for insurance coverage for telehealth services, and then Senate Bill 684 provides for a limited license within the medical schools. These are just a few of our agency accomplishments, and one in particular that I'd like to point out is that we worked with the nursing and pharmacy boards to come up with some opioid prescribing guidelines, and that's gotten some national attention by the Federation of State Medical Boards. So we work with our other stakeholders in the associations to get some of these accomplishments moving forward, and we also work with other health boards. In terms of the office-based surgery, we worked with a number of different professional associations to update those rules to reflect current practice. And then finally, I'd like to show you a photo.
Oh, sorry. Sure.
Question.
Ms. Haley, your point about the prescription drug monitoring program leads me to wonder. We've got Senate Bill 626 that's actually presumably on the floor today. And one of the provisions, it's related to the prescription drug monitoring program, and one of the provisions in there would be to allow county health officers limited access to the database to help deal with Oregon's significant epidemic of opioid overuse. Overall, as a public health measure, I think that's a good idea. Putting on my doctor hat for a moment, I worry a little bit about witch hunts. And I wonder about whether the board's given any thought to how it would respond if county health officers suddenly started diving into the database and making accusations about providers, and how you might think about working with the county health officers were they to gain this authority to look at what's in the database. Mm-hmm.
Co-chairs Bates and Nathanson, Senator Steiner Hayward, right now we have access to that database, but we are very, very careful and have in-house processes before we will ask for anyone's information, and it's only tied to an investigation that it looks like it's going to be moving forward. We haven't thought about how we would work with the county health officers, but I would hope that they would be as responsible as we have been in trying to seek information.
Can follow up if I may, Mr. Chair? Thank you. I wonder if we do pass it off the floor today, which we haven't quite figured out if that's going to happen or not today, and there is some concern about that, I wonder if we could have you potentially engage as this bill moves over to the House side and help us think about whether there's some little tweaks we could do to help make sure that the authority given to the county health officers is used appropriately and not as part of witch hunts against prescribers or patients, for that matter. I really don't feel like having them reaching out to law enforcement all the time and saying this person's abusing, you know, and filling multiple prescriptions either. I mean, I think those people need help. I don't think they need to be arrested. So, most of the time anyway. So, okay. Would you be willing to engage in that conversation, or could the board offer some guidance?
Co-chairs Bates and Nathanson, Senator Steiner and Hayward, we'd be happy to.
Thank you very much.
I thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Oh,
and thank you, Senator Steiner Haywood. That's the most subtle lobbying job I've seen in a long time.
No, not
well
really.
Done.
That's subtle at all, actually.
I'm another one that bill. And I'm chief school sponsor.
I'm not lobbying you, sir. I'm just trying to think about a constructive way to address your very legitimate concerns.
Thank
and it
you.
Occurred to me that we had an opportune moment since Ms. Haley brought up the prescription drug monitoring program. I actually think I'm taking your concerns very seriously,
well,
sir.
I think you are. I appreciate it.
And in conclusion, with this budget, we have no fee increases. We do have a couple of positions in our packages to respond to the increases in workload and also to respond to customer service needs. And we want to thank you and our budget analysts and our partners at the association for working with us on this governor's balanced budget. Thank you.
Questions? Did anyone sign up for a public hearing?
No.
You know, there's nothing wrong on a Thursday morning, which is my Friday, so to speak. Ending early if everyone kind of goes along with this thing, okay? I think we have to hear from CFO too, right?
Just yes. In time to
actually, I do have one question. There's a bill on the House side that is for assistant anesthesiologists, is that what it's called, AAs? That they said would come under
nurses.
It's not the CRNAs,
the other.
Okay.
And so
okay.
CRNAs fall under the Board of Nursing, and they said the AAs would fall under your board, and there would be no additional cost because you're already set up to oversee them. I'm just curious what impact that would have, if anything, if we chose to have AAs. I have my own opinion about it. I'm just curious about... if what they said is true, that there would be no cost because the structure is already set up.
Are you aware of the bill?
Yes. Okay. Co-chairs Bates and Nathanson, Representative Kenny Geyer, we are aware of the bill. I don't think it would be a substantial cost because we do have licensing processes in place, but I can't say that there wouldn't be any cost because we would have to set up through our database for that population. It's also my understanding it's very few people that would apply for the license.
Thank you.
Any other questions? CFO.
Good morning, Co-Chair Bates, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Claire Clark from the Chief Financial Office. I will just very briefly highlight a couple issues regarding the Oregon Medical Board's budget for the governor's 2015-17 biennium. So, first, I'd just like to point out that Senate Bill 279, the bill that would grant the Oregon Medical Board semi-independent status, is not included or assumed in the governor's budget for this biennium. The deadline for the governor's office to select legislation to put forward falls after the governor's budget is due, so this budget is a current law budget and does not assume that Senate Bill 279 passes. That's not to say that we are taking a position at that this time on that bill, but just that it's not assumed in this budget.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
So I think I will skip to the second slide for brevity. So this chart shows the board's expenditure history over time as well as its FTE. In total, the 2015-17 governor's budget for the board is $11.5 million, all of other funds. It's a 7.6% increase from the 2013-15 legislatively approved budget. This budget leaves the board with approximately $4.1 million in ending balance. This is equal to about 8 months of operating expenses. We feel that this is appropriate for the board given that they receive most of their revenue during the first 6 months of the biennium. And in terms of policy packages, I believe that Carol did a great job summarizing those policy packages, so I won't reiterate except to say that this budget is supported at the current fee levels and doesn't propose any new or raised fees for the 2015-17 biennium. Thank you.
That's it.
That's all I have.
Any questions? this is really a pretty straightforward budget. There's no general fund in it, so it makes it a little easier to look at. Issues we've had before is ending balances. Is it adequate? When do you raise fees to catch up? We have low fees in this, frankly, very low fees compared to the states. And that's the basic bottom line here. The other issues that might be involved with the board are not budget issues. So I'll be able to, if no one has any other questions, we'll probably close this down. We will, in all likelihood, be getting the semi-independence bill into this committee. It's been assigned to Ways and Means. It'll probably come to us. That'll be a longer discussion for us. Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you for your time and presentation this morning. I do appreciate it. And as I said earlier, I have no problem with closing a meeting early if we've got our work done. So our next meeting will be, I believe, Monday morning at 8:30, if I remember correctly. And I will look forward to seeing you all on Monday morning, if not sooner.
Is it going home now?
I know we got Ways and Means of Four.
Yeah,
so I'll be driving out about 5:30 or so. I'll get some books on tape or something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I look forward to seeing you all on Monday morning, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Doing the marijuana committee last night.
Here you go, Doc. Doing the marijuana.